You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number three here of Mino and the Mayor here on a cold Wednesday morning. Special thanks, Michael Friedman, CEO of Simple Life Hospitality. If you're still looking to rent out your house, it's right down to the final wire. But if you're looking to rent a place, they have some phenomenal, phenomenal places throughout the state of Wisconsin. Hannah Breeley and Terry Charles from PMI, Disney on Ice at the Resch. We gave away two pair of tickets for Thursday night's performance. And joining us now, Tori Wittenbrock and John Kramer. Headlines with the Press Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Thanks for coming out on this cold. We got kind of an ice theme here today between Disney on Ice, and it's 22 degrees below zero. And you said you last night went to like four hockey games.
Oh, yeah. We had Ashwaubenon was out there, DePere, West DePere, Notre Dame was leading, I think, 7-0 at the end of the second period.
Wow.
Bayport won, I think, 4-1.
Notre Dame's tough, and that's not that old of a program.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I wanted to ask you, I mean, I know you cover the sports. That's really your, is that 100% or is that the majority
of it? Sports editor, all 100% sports.
And I'm curious as to what you think after covering this for... what does Green Bay need to do? I mean, those sheets at Cornerstone are relatively new, right? Are they adding to? Are we there when it comes to everything? Like, I think football we're there. I would like to think we are, some of these stadiums. But cricket, do you think we...
He is still adamant that there's a cricket field in Green Bay.
There is, on the west side.
He's adamant about that. We've never been able to find it.
I dedicated it.
Nobody's ever been able to verify it. It might have been lacrosse, and he thinks it's cricket.
Tori, when it warms up a little bit, I'll show you where the cricket field is in Green Bay.
You know, I've never thought of covering cricket as a sport, and I'm not sure I have the skill set to be able to write about that,
right?
But it'd sure be interesting.
I have no clue how the rules of that sport. I've watched it briefly, and I'm like, what the hell is going on?
It's a huge, huge sport. Well, you can not only cover it, you can educate the readers.
Yeah, and myself, because I have no clue what it's about. But, I think... in the Green Bay area, football, hockey, basketball, everything's so competitive that it's like, I think it's really interesting to see if we're there yet with all of that stuff. I mean, we're definitely improving every year on our facilities and everything like that. So, I mean, in terms of hockey and Cornerstone, I mean, you've got Notre Dame is defending state champs. They've won, 3 years in a row, so...
You know, another thing, though, too, is over the last, I'd say 10 to 15 years, it's amazing, because when I first came to Green Bay and you'd had a handful.
Right.
But now they've really gotten into, like, the lacrosse, the rugby.
Yep.
Girls volleyball has become huge. Boys volleyball is getting popular. I mean, none of those existed not that long ago around here.
Right. And I mean, when I came into this job, I was like, okay, I love sports. And I'm thinking like football, baseball, soccer, hockey. I can write about all those, no problem. And then I got up here and I'm like, oh, there's like lacrosse. Mm-hmm. I can learn about writing about lacrosse. Because, I mean, you know, that's not a popular sport everywhere across the U.S. And then we had a couple girls rugby players. And I was like, I was going to high schools to talk to some girls high school rugby players.
Well,
and
yeah,
I was
okay,
like, that's
another,
so
let me
unique.
Throw another one that I never thought I would see. I mean, God bless them. But girls wrestling in boys' competitions.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys something? Have
no.
you ever seen anybody so excited about learning more about their job? And
right.
all? I mean, right?
Still a student.
Tori, you know? Would you be honest with me on something?
Sure.
Look at Todd. Now, when he puts his head down, can you even see his face? Have you ever seen a beard and a sweater blend better together than that? Yes, sir. John, you live in camo. You ever see better camo than that with what he's pulling off right here? Ever?
Do you guys see what I deal with every morning?
Yeah. No,
I don't get paid
I think
enough.
That's...
I had to live with him for a week. Try living with him.
No, thank you.
In a tent?
Yeah, no, thank you.
We didn't have a tent.
Whatever.
We had a Connex. We were living really good.
Yeah, we really were.
Todd, you're right about how excited Tori is. When that Disney and Ice came in, they brought in their manager.
Yeah.
The girl who sat in the back, and she goes, which one of you guys is the mayor? I said, listen to the show for a minute, and then you tell me. Anyway, you've got great energy. Hey, you've made an investment, UWGB. You're a soccer player out there, right? Mm-hmm. And they upgraded that quite a bit, right? The soccer field with...
They didn't make it any warmer.
No, unfortunately, yeah. No. But yeah, when I first got there, that was part of the draw when I committed. I mean, I think we have probably one of the best stadiums in the Horizon
League. I
think
you do too.
Out of all the stadiums we played at, I think, I mean, NKU is nice. Youngstown State is nice. But I mean, I think ours is definitely one of the top facilities
Greg's
for soccer.
Greg's dad did a lot of that. No, Santaga brothers.
Oh, yep. Santaga. My goodness.
Aldo Santaga Field.
Aldo was my great friend.
Yeah, his kids are, well, he turned out just a great family.
Right.
Hey, do you, something that I think is a bigger deal that doesn't get as much coverage as golf. Do you think we've got a pretty good that going on here? Because I think we have a good basis for a strong golf league. Is some of the things that are off season, you know, some of these Bellin and Aurora and
indoor
golf, and there's like experts that watch your swing. They're like, look, this is what you got to do. What about golf? Are you covering that? Is that something that's on your radar?
Yeah, I mean, we for sure cover golf. I mean, some of those sports like golf and swim are overlooked, not just because they're not as popular as sports, but they're also just kind of more difficult to cover because there's not as big of a draw for the audiences and everything. So it's like, obviously during the fall season, we cover football primarily because that's draws such a big audience, but we try to cover every sport. So it's like, when it comes down to golf season, it's like, I still make that a priority to whether it's GB golf, high school golf. I mean, we had another thing too, is like with these high school athletes, some of them do try like their best to overlap sports as much as possible because that's their passion. So, I mean, I covered a kid at DePere who played three sports, and he did golf and then would go to his baseball games after. And it's like,
you know what? Let me tell you something. If you're a stick in that business, and we talked a little bit about this before, the hard shell you have to develop where you don't.
Yeah.
I remember one night high school football, and this is when I was doing it, and we got some news photogs to help us that night, and we covered like 12 games, mm-hmm. which nowadays everybody does that. But, you know, in our era, it was like, you know, that everybody was having, we had like five people going out to shoot, and I was the anchor, and I still went out and shot two games. Somebody else shot two. One guy got three. You know, you get lucky, you get there, and somebody scores right away so you can leave, okay? We got done with that show. We were so excited. It's like, yeah, that was awesome. Oh, man. Phone rings in sports. It's like somebody going to say, hey, thank you. Hello. Could you tell me why in the hell you didn't cover the Krivets versus Leona game?
Yep.
I swear to God, that's all we got were complaints. I'm like, well, sir, we covered 12 games. Well, if you could cover that many, you could have covered us. It's like, oh, boy.
Passionate.
Just going to put the phone down because no matter how hard you try, you will hear more from somebody that's complaining than somebody saying great job.
Well, that's true. And I mean, we do get a lot of praise and stuff, but a lot of that is behind the scenes. It's like we hear from other people, or when you're talking to someone, you're like, oh, yeah, I've heard good things about the paper. And it's like, okay, I wish I had too, but
that's what I mean. So you got to develop that shell.
You definitely do hear the bad more than the good sometimes. But I mean, when it comes down to it, it's like, I know if I'm covering 12 games and missing one, it's like, making 12.
Yeah.
12 to 24 teams happy.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, and you cover all those sports, and some, let's just call it what it is, are a lot more exciting than others.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and to stay there when it's boring or it's a blowout or something like that. Scott Vinci's a friend of ours, and you're maybe a competitor, but you guys both do a great job of writing. And I've seen him at many, many games, and he is just stone-faced. He doesn't get in. Do you get into the games, or do you have that distance? I couldn't cover a game. I mean, I would be like going crazy. And
I definitely do. And like when I was at the West DePere WIA game where they're playing Kakana, oh my gosh, I was like on the sidelines trying not to scream because I'm like, you know, you're excited. You cover these teams, you get an attachment to them because they're such great kids. And
I will say this, though. That's one of the best high school football games ever seen. We broadcast that game.
So
that
exciting.
That was unbelievable.
It is.
Yeah.
And every year. It was the year before, too. And it's just like you develop these relationships with the coaches and the kids. And it's like, it doesn't matter what team it is. I don't have favorites. I just like watching these kids succeed. So it's like going out there and watching them. It's like, of course you want to win. I'm not going to go out there and have no emotion.
And you know what? But you know what's funny about that, too? Because we had the kids from Bayport.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, when you're covering it, and especially in basketball, it's different. But in football, everybody's geared up. You don't see the kids. You're talking about a number. And then you meet them either after the game or at like the event we had there, and you realize, wow, we put them on. you know, we're a little bit critical at times. They're just teenage kids.
Yep.
Out there performing on that stage that night. I remember I was on the field before the game, as you probably were, I'm sure, and looking up at the stands that were just, it was jammed 2 hours before the game.
Yep.
And it was a cold night, but it was so packed. It was such a big time atmosphere. And I remember being on that field before the game and thinking, I don't know what I would have been like when I was 16 years old in a setting like this. And those kids go out and perform so well, yep, which you never would think for their age they could do. Oh, hang on a second.
You can do that one. I want to ask her another question.
Okay, just got a notice here. Green Bay police have temporarily closed southbound I-43 Atkinson Drive due to a multi-vehicle crash on the Leo Frigo Bridge. Access to I-43 northbound is limited to allow access to rescue workers. Drivers should find alternative routes. Todd, you got anything more on that, bud? No? Okay. So there you go. Temporarily closed southbound I-43 Atkinson Drive, multi-vehicle crash, Leo Frigo Memorial Bridge.
Yeah, okay. That's a big intersection. The reason I asked you about your composure or your having a
during
preference
a game?
During a game is that parents could see you and say, she was all excited about, you know, their opponent. And I think it's tough to be in the booth. You know, they always say, oh, Troy Aikman's this, or so-and-so doesn't like the Packers, right, or so-and-so's in love with the... So I think you got to be cognizant of that. I mean, you're young, you're just getting started, but I would think parents might pick on you for just being a really good reporter and taking emotion into the game.
Right, and I mean, that doesn't show up in my writing, obviously.
No, it
when
doesn't.
I'm writing
no,
stories,
I,
it's like this,
I
you know.
That. I
and
you.
It's and I yeah, on the sidelines, and it's like, okay, you know, sure, when they're playing Kakana, it's like you want the team from Green Bay. You want
sure
you want
do.
West Dupuy to succeed. But it's like, I mean, when it comes down to it, yeah.
Okay, one thing though that's hard for you. I mean, like, we're up in the booth, so we got replays, we got
right,
all these different things, we're at binoculars, okay. You were print reporters,
yep,
on the sidelines where everything you reported, you have to document yourself.
Yep.
You're writing it out. You're writing your own notes. And so you have to really concentrate on what's going on, because there's nothing worse than having, I'm going back a million years, even when I'd get my name in the paper for something like that. If they had that wrong,
right,
and they had it listed as somebody else, man, that's heartbreaking when they do that. So
yep,
there's a lot of responsibility you're carrying when you're covering those games by yourself.
There was definitely a learning curve for that. And I mean, nowadays it's like, okay, you get something wrong, you can go into the back end of the website and
right,
change it real quick before anyone notices.
Right.
But when it goes out in print, it's
forget
done.
About it.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Besides the scores and the X's and O's, I want to talk to you about, sometimes you guys take liberties in the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that just happened at the Green Bay game. I was at that game, and the reporter was talking about Gutlob looking up to the sky and think. And I thought, wow, that was weird for I don't know if that's what, my point is it was a lot more than just the game. It was more about the emotion of the game. And I think that's kind of nice when you incorporate that into your writing.
We got to set a quick break. Tori and John Kramer, headlines with the Press Times, back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You at home. Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here in WGBW, WISS. Todd, have we got anything more to give away? That was fun doing the spin to win.
I got nothing at this point.
Nothing at this
but
point.
But you know what?
Okay.
Tomorrow's what, Thursday?
Yeah.
Maybe on Friday morning, we'll start doing every Friday, we'll give away some stuff with that little wheel.
I like that.
And that guy brought in that beer yesterday. We should have given that away. But
no, because that went to Todd's refrigerator.
Okay.
Listen, I don't have a lot of perks working with you.
That's
two,
true.
So I'm going
right,
to take the beer when
right,
somebody
okay,
brings
okay,
in
you're right,
the beer.
You're right,
we always
that,
give you the beer. You have
that's
to
right,
admit that. We always.
I know,
give you the
and
beer.
I can't tell you how much and I appreciate that.
I believe it. All
the only reason, John, you give him the beer is you don't like beer. I give it to him because I respect the guy.
Do they give it to you, or do you just take it? Come on,
John. You know, don't you?
I do.
I chose one just because the can looked really cool. I didn't care. It was a cherry flavored stout. Sometimes
yeah,
it gets a little over the top of. Yeah.
They're trying a little too hard with some of those flavors.
Exactly what we're talking
I mean,
about.
I get it, but, you know.
Yeah.
So, Tori, you're not new in the community, but relatively new. Do you get out more than the Press Times? Have you talked to students in schools? Have you done career fairs, that kind of thing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
That's great.
I kind of live like a double life because it's like, you know, I have my press time side of things where it's like I'm reporting on sports, and then I have my other side where it's like I was an athlete in Green Bay. Like, I, you know, I have my all my college friends that are either still playing soccer or just recently graduated, and then, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, and you still obviously participate in what sports do you do now? Do you pick up leagues, or are you in some?
No, actually, I haven't done anything, and I've had a lot of people tell me, oh, you should do Glory, you should do this. And my roommate from GB, who actually transferred to St. Norbert, she just recently tried out for Glory and is doing that this season. And she was trying to get me to try out with her. And I was like, you know, I think I'm kind of past that stage.
What's Glory? It's hard to go back. I don't know what that is.
Green Bay Glory. They're semi-professional, I guess. It's a lot of collegiate players that play on that team.
Like pro league type? I mean, yeah. But I mean, kind of semi-pro-ish? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you this, though, as far as like having been an athlete, do you feel, because, you know, there's, we have Mark Houston on from Bell and Sports Medicine every week, and there are so many of his people, you know, at the games, as you've seen at the high school games, and in talking to them, they were athletes who got hurt and were so, like, enamored with the people taking care of them type of thing that, you know, they went into that business. For somebody like yourself that was an athlete and could still consider yourself an athlete, do you feel as like you can pull back that curtain a little bit about what's going on in a sport and with teams and things like that because you lived it for so long?
Yeah, I mean, when I was in high school, I definitely thought, when I'm older, I'll be in like athletic training or physical therapy or something. Cause it's like you're in there getting your ankle taped and they're scooping ice and doing all this stuff. And you're like, oh, I could see myself doing that later. Cause it's like, that's all your life is about everything is soccer when you're
still your world.
And now I'm like, I'm so glad that I didn't go into that because I mean, for a lot of kids, it's like, if you want to stay in that sport, go for it. That's awesome. But for me, I'm like, okay, that side is kind of closed and it's like that's my job now is still related to sports, but I don't feel the need to be in the locker rooms and all that stuff.
Well, but I think the field you got into is pretty narrow. Mm-hmm. There's just not a lot of opportunities, and I'm really glad that they were wise enough to see the talent that you have. But there's quite a field in sports medicine.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean, you look at the trainers in some of these high school. It's like, well, what are they? How many guys? The pro game?
How many people do they send? Like 14 or something?
They do
on
this,
a Friday night.
On a Friday night, schools? Some of those games. I mean, that's
incredible.
Well, I mean, there's definitely a demand for it too, because as these sports get more competitive and these kids get younger, the stakes are higher and they're putting their bodies on the line essentially every night. I mean, you've got high school kids that are committing to colleges. You've got kids in 7th, 8th grade down to 6th grade committing to colleges now. And it's like, okay, that's insane. So, I mean, as they're getting younger and it's getting more competitive, I think the youngest player on the women's national team has been like 14 years old or something, going out there making their debut.
Who was so when you were 14 years old, who was your big soccer idol?
I'm ashamed to say Alex Morgan. Everyone loved Alex Morgan when I was little. Sure. She had the pink pre-wrap in her hair, and she was just the new up-and-coming star. And now it's like, I'm at the age where I'm like, oh my God, my idol from when I was younger was like the young rookie, and now she's retired.
I was hoping you weren't going to say Hope Solo.
Oh, see, I tried to go that route, and my mom was like, nope, you're not allowed to read her book. I wanted to read her book, and my mom was like, probably not the best influence.
Well, this is great that you're doing this. So what's your future plans? I mean, you want to be a journalist?
I mean, I am.
I mean, for your whole career, when you're our age, do you still want to say, I'm glad I became a journalist?
Oh, I'm definitely glad I became a journalist. This is awesome. This was the right path for me.
I guess my question would be a little, I sense that. And John is your photographer, or are you guys our team? I don't know how you address him, but, and you must work well together. I just want to know, is sports going to be it, or do you find interest in politics or in news or in some of these human interest or entertainment? There's so many venues in a newspaper that some people go, like I happen to read the business section first, and we have some great reporters who do that. But
when I got into all this, I was an English lit major. I had no idea that sports was going to be the path that I went in, which is, I'm so thankful, so blessed, because, I mean, there's so many people who fight for this career and have wanted to do it since they're 4 years old. They're like, I want to be a sports reporter. I want to be a sports broadcaster. I want to be in this industry. And it's so, like you said, it's so narrow and so difficult to just get your foot in the door.
Right. I can't
and it
get
kind
hired.
It kind of opened up for me out of nowhere because my interest is English literature. And it's like, of course I have interest in politics, English lit, news, everything. And it's funny because I say that sometimes. I'm like, remember, I could do more than sports.
Okay, you know what you need to do? Your next big project. I'm going to tell you what it needs to be.
I'll tell you what it's going to be.
Here we go.
I'm going to tell you what it needs to be. History of women's basketball at UW Green Bay.
Oh. I will gladly accept that.
Do it. I'm serious.
Yeah.
There's one on the men. There isn't one on the women. And their legacy is incredible.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Phenomenal. John, do you have any stories you want to promote for this week? John Kramer?
I'm just enjoying listening to you guys talk. Okay. Just ignore the old guy in the corner. That's fine.
Where I see you, you can do the history of women's sports or women's basketball. That'd be a good story. But, you know, someone her age, you learn a little bit about everything and then you become the editor of the paper. And that would be a great thing because this local news is what people really want to hear. You're going to learn that more and more. I think you will. I hear it now just on the radio. But, I mean, as much as people care deeply about the state and in the United States, this local news, sports, politics is of great interest to them and affects them the most as well. So just, yeah, keep your eyes open.
Promise me you'll at least think about writing that book.
Yes.
Promise.
I will consider it.
Okay. I think that'd be phenomenal. Back to Carol Hammerly when she started up the program. Do you know that story? She knew nothing about basketball. She's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
She was a field hockey player. And they said, we need somebody for quote-unquote girls basketball. And that's how they did it. I mean, it's really something. Great having you here.
I love this music. Thanks for being here. And it's going to be fun to watch you, you know? And John...
Yeah, whatever.
Talk to her. No, keep feeding the girl the good photos. The good photos make even a better article. But it's the writing that is the article. But keep up your good work too, John. Thanks for being here.
Headlines of the Press Times. We'll be back with Eric Sponholz, Literacy Green Bay, right after this. Just give me something.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries. And we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick. Drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Details coming soon. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. Winding her down. Still 22 degree below zero wind chill out there. Now, folks, we also have a notice here. Green Bay police have temporarily closed southbound I-43 Atkinson Drive due to a multi-vehicle crash around 7:45 this morning. It's on the Leo Frigo Memorial Bridge, of course. Access to I-43 northbound is limited to allow access for rescue workers only. Drivers should find alternative routes. Once again, Leo Frigo, Memorial Bridge, heading north. Access to I-43 northbound limited to allow access for rescue workers.
And that's a main corridor. Do you remember when that bridge separated? Remember
that
rerouted the traffic in Green Bay, but it was unbelievable how quickly, you know, when you get everybody on board to fix something, it works very well. So, hey, this is a big, big day in Green Bay. Every day is a big day in Green Bay, but today is Give Big Green Bay.
Which is one of the cool things that Green Bay does for its people.
And for people who maybe be in need. And so there's 50 organizations that you can donate to today, and your money will be matched, not dollar for dollar. It depends on the pool of money. And we have with us just a great organization, and I guess they're all great. But Eric, I just really, you just got such leadership skills that you had at the Volunteer Center, and now you moved over to Literacy Green Bay.
Eric Sponholz, yeah. Literacy Green Bay.
So yeah. What are you looking for today? $1 million.
Boy, that's a loaded question, isn't it? No, I obviously we're just grateful to be a part of this day. I think it's the 8th annual Give Big Green Bay. Right. And really, yes, dollars, they're wonderful. I mean, it helps us to continue our mission, to continue our programming. The awareness piece is so big for us too, because even though, you know, we're working in the adult education space, but at the same time, we can't do those things without people and without the talent of people. So even if it's a volunteer to be a tutor or to work with students on maybe learning to take the GED or citizenship test, or if they just want to learn computers better outside of reading, that's a good way for people to get involved too.
So Literacy Green Bay, I mean, your mission statement is...
Yeah, to help all people make sure that they have the reading, writing, math skills to be efficient community members
and advance in life.
Yep.
What a $200 gift, where does that go? Where does your money go?
So we like to tell people, especially for today, that $50 gets one student their registration and their textbook for the life of the time that they're with Literacy Green Bay. So we have different levels of classes through our ELL classes. When they test and they are placed in one of those levels, they get a textbook, they get registered in class. That's $50. One $50 donation today covers one student for the rest of the time they are with Literacy.
Oh,
Green
wow.
Bay.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a lot.
Yeah. You talk about literacy. I mean, it's kind of a wide range, but explain what you guys are really trying to focus on with your organization.
Absolutely. So adult education, our ELL classes, our English language learning classes, right now we have 27 of those, 25 of them on site, and we have two of them in Wrightstown that are being taught. We're serving right now about 350 students in our spring semester, which lasts 18 weeks. We also have a summer 9-week session and a fall 18-week session. And then on the flip side of that, we have a one-on-one tutoring program, which works with about 110 tutor-student pairs right now. But again, those are all volunteer. Those are all volunteer tutors. And again, we're trying to meet students where they're at. So do they want to learn to read to their kids at night? Do they want to try and get a better job? Do they want to try and take the GED and really improve their educational journey that way? So we try to meet where they're at right away and then connect them with tutors that maybe have those skills and can really make it a little bit more efficient right out of the gate.
I got to tell you something that's almost hard to believe. I don't think it happens nowadays, but back when I used to cover the Packers in the earlier days, you know, you think, well, everybody went to college. Everybody's, you know, whatever. Yep. There were guys that were, like, functionally illiterate.
Sure.
It was. I mean, big-time football, NFL players. I mean, got through high school, got through college, into the pros, and could barely read.
Yeah.
There was a company that closed in our community a few years ago, and the employees couldn't read.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That, there's a responsibility to the business.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've tried to do that with our workforce development classes and working with local companies to try and teach their employees, you know, to read better or to understand more. Because if you're out on the line and you know, you have to have that communication. So we try to do that a little bit as well. But yeah, it's frustrating when you know that people have that work ethic and the ability to really want to improve themselves, and they just don't have those soft skills behind them to be able to really be as efficient as possible. So that's what we try and do.
And think about it. Once they do learn.
Right.
You know, they get the GED or they get the speaker right better, you know, because they have the passion. They're there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones who signed up and said, look, you know, I need some help here. So you know that they have the drive in them right away. And you get them through that and they can go on to be just great leaders, great, you know, people in the community.
Absolutely.
So how can we give?
So if you go to givebiggreenbay.org today, obviously that's the main landing page for all 50 nonprofits. There's an easy search function. You can type in literacy, or I think you can just type in the letter L and it will populate with our organization. Yeah. So and that's, again, from noon today until noon tomorrow. There's a bunch of different events going on that nonprofits are doing throughout the area, not just today but tomorrow. We're hooking up with the YWCA and a couple of other organizations tomorrow morning for some bingo at the YW. But again, it's not just the dollars, but it's that awareness as well.
And I would, for the people who are going to Google givebiggreenbay.org, you got to take some pride in how many organizations are on there. There's 50.
Yeah.
And that what you touch from, you know, from homeless to the education to, we had a group on here that is teaching kids how to paddle, sail, you know, with using the whole STEM concept come in, to understand your geometry. And, you know, these things don't happen everywhere.
You're right. And it's beating a dead horse, right? I mean, we always talk about, from a nonprofit perspective, how many different resources and services are available in the community. And we can say it until we're blue in the face. But when you really dig in and find all of the different areas that are being supported and all of the different things that are happening for youth, for animals, for housing, for literacy, it's crazy. I mean, 50 nonprofits, that's just a small subset of what we have in Brown County. There's hundreds of nonprofits, from your national organizations all the way down to volunteer run. They don't have any paid staff, but they're a nonprofit anyway. Right. So whatever people do decide to give to today, that dollar is just going to be stretched as much as it can to be able to improve the lives of the people they serve.
And that's let's just call it what it is. Nonprofits need money.
Absolutely.
I mean, look, I know my kids volunteered with you, and you've got a lot of volunteers, and at the shelter we have many, many people. But at the end of the day, we got a budget that we got to meet.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't it's tough to ask for money, but it goes to such a good cause. And if they can come in for a tour to your place, right. Anybody would give you a tour of their place. They're so proud of what they're doing. So
you can only write so many grants.
How did this all start, Eric? Right.
That's true, man.
You know, how did this all start? Who got together and said, hey, Green Bay people, let's come up with this great idea on one day, 24 hours, or however long it lasts. Yep. Let's give it one really huge shot. Who came up with this? How did this come about? Who takes part?
I think it was based around an idea that the Community Foundation had, and they had some donors or some people within the foundation that they had seen it modeled in another place. I think it was now in Florida. And it was just an idea that came up, and they kind of worked through it. And then they got the backing of the Packers, obviously, so that was huge too. But it's really taken off in the last how many years? And I've been fortunate to see it from both sides, not just Literacy Green Bay, but the Volunteer Center too. And again, for a smaller organization, I think this day means that much more, because it is not just dollars, because those are things you don't budget for. Right. You don't know if you're going to get in, so you can't really budget for it at the beginning of the year. But at the same time, being able to tell people what you do and how you do it and the impact you have, that transcends a lot for some of these smaller nonprofits.
And I think people who are listening know, but boy, you feel good after you make a donation.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's great. And today's the day.
Today's the day.
From noon to noon.
I didn't think it'd ever get here.
I know you did. I will give you guys credit for your marketing efforts. You guys
Thank you.
But you also have your own, right? I mean, you like Literacy Green Bay. And I just think some of the videos you sent out, some of the emails you sent out, and even a couple things were snail mail that we got too, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just... Today's the day.
Sometimes they get tired of seeing my big head on video.
I don't have my glasses. Yeah,
we got a really nice text. It says, as a former board member for Literacy Green Bay, I can vouch they are amazing. They make so much happen with whatever little they have. Her favorite was attending the student recognition events. Their whole families were there cheering them on, proud of them. An amazing thing to see and a really great group of people over there. Please support them if you're able. That is Kimberly.
That's fantastic.
Nice, Kimberly.
That's fantastic.
Very nice.
And that's true. These graduations that you have there on all levels are moving.
Yeah.
You know what? The people that I met, it was so cool because I do that. It was through my book, a scholarship, through the Doug Lavalette Scholarship of Honor, Brian Lavalette Foundation. Yep. And we met the young lady who got the remember afterwards, Jim?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From Africa.
Well, you emceed that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You had a pinch hit for Chuck.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Because somebody was. I thought you should have been top billing, but you filled in for somebody that was sick.
Bill thought that too. No, I'm kidding.
He's on our show tomorrow, by the way.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
But that meeting that Bill young Charles. Lady, was it like Rwanda or Somalia or?
Yes. Yeah.
One of those. And for her to be getting this award and getting that to help her for college and different things like that.
Yeah.
What a great thing. And you know what was a cool thing about that too is you could tell, you know, some kids came from more whatever.
Okay? Yeah, right. Right,
but boy, every kid was there, and they took that. And their parents were like sitting around us. Although I will admit this though, it was a little uncomfortable. That was almost a full house that night.
It was, yeah.
And it was hot in there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I was sitting next to some guy who was sweating, and it just smelled like garlic.
Oh, jeez.
His sweat smelled, and I tried to move. And
I was on stage, John,
and you could tell.
Could you smell it up there?
And people are like,
not
what?
Sitting next.
And they'd be like, what's that smell? What is it? And it's like, so I tried to move, but I couldn't get away.
You couldn't write that guy.
And because of his complaint, I moved.
And because of that, the height stopped making those.
Okay.
Garlic bits. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I had before that.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have done that. But I'm not that I'm not speaking anymore. I can hide in the back. So I went there with Johnny. I ate the garlic.
Chicken bits or something.
Yeah. And
it felt good to be so bad, didn't it?
It was. It was. But right. And I got home and it's like, man, go brush your teeth.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow.
Yeah.
But that was a nice event. And what I like about that event, well, many events that I go to is... you ask a student to say something.
Yes.
And I think that's what connects it with, if this is real.
Some of these folks, their stories. We have students right now who are in our ELL classes that fought the Taliban. I mean, it's just crazy to me how, you know, we take a lot of things for granted, obviously, and Green Bay is a wonderful community, very giving community, and you just kind of go through your daily motions, and you don't necessarily, so that's why we want to have those stories told to people, because they know, you know, they know what they're doing, but they don't know where these people came from, they don't know what they were doing.
If I can piggyback on that a little
bit.
Same thing happened to us one time here in the studio with a gentleman, 3 or 4Hmong gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they started telling us about, through a translator a little bit, through
sure,
what they went through in the jungles of Cambodia and Laos when the Americans left and the communists were taken over. And they were hunting them like animals.
Right.
They were literally hunting them.
In our lifetime.
In our lifetime. Right. In the jungles, hunting them even with dogs and things like that, like animals.
It's crazy.
And they were sitting right here. And you know.
Here they are loving it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Pretty cool.
I know. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah, the backstory on some of these people is pretty amazing.
It's amazing. Well, it's
probably on more than some of the people.
Absolutely.
I would say on even where I work, there's just some unbelievable backstories.
Yeah. You know it too, Jim. Yeah, absolutely.
It's just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Anyway, well, thanks for doing this, Eric. It's a big, big day for Green Bay. And for those of you listening, and call your friends too. I mean, this is a day where you can really give back to Green Bay, and we have all these organizations and they're working really, really hard. And I just want to underscore what you said about, boy, did you guys pinch the pennies.
Yeah, you have to. You have to do what you can to get the people in to serve them. Yeah. Do we wish we could serve everyone? Absolutely. But
right. We got a waiting list, too.
You bet.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. Eric Sponholz, thanks so much for being here. Literacy Green Bay. Give big Green Bay. It starts at noon today, goes till noon tomorrow. How many different nonprofits?
50 nonprofits total.
50 nonprofits, and they've been selected for this, correct?
Correct, yes.
They went through a vetting system.
Yes.
These are very, very legit, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, if
all 501c3s, all official.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
That's true.
Very cool. Eric Sponholz, thanks for what you do for the whole greater Green Bay area.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for being here. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Special thanks to Eric Sponholz. Once again, Literacy Green Bay. Got a texter. Take that one, Jim.
You know, there's so many things you can give to, but something that Johnny and I promote for sure every Friday, but throughout our time here are the arts. And Evergreen Productions, which is, you know, they moved to a new studio. They're one of the 50 choices you can make today to give money to, and then that money is matched. So Gizmo, who's one of our favorites here, he goes, you know, any way you could give us a shout out? Absolutely, Gizmo. Evergreen Productions, they're one of the nonprofit groups. And like Eric said, they're all technically, legally, whatever, nonprofit. That's a 501c3. The government has approved them, and that means that their mission is to do things that the private sector maybe can't do, or
wait
the government
a minute,
can't
wait
do.
Wait a minute, though. Wait a minute. I'm not sure Gizmo. I mean, couldn't Gizmo, the way he does that magic trick where you give him $1 and he gives you back two?
Gizmo,
just
maybe
keep
that's
doing
your
that all day.
Well,
Gizmo?
let's go with Give Big Green Bay, and then we'll see what he does with
he
that.
He is Give Big Green Bay. He's the one who pulls it off.
Yeah,
certainly does.
So,
we're with Rachel Wolf.
Evergreen Productions.
Rachel Wolf is with Feral Moms Podcast. Filling in here, learning a little bit about the radio world from Todd. And we talked to you a few weeks ago at the Heights when we did our show down there. And this just sounds really cool what you do with, and I love the name, Feral Moms Podcast. Tell me a little bit how you got interested in doing that, what you guys talk about.
It's just something that I've always wanted to do. And one day my co-host and I just looked at each other and we were like, let's do this. So we found a place. We started doing it. We have a lot of fun doing it. It's a great way to connect with other moms who might not feel like they fit in anywhere.
Have a voice.
Yeah, because we're a little different, you know. So not the typical cookie cutter moms.
What is the...
Which is weird though, because you look like the mom on Ozzie and Harriet, just right here with the tats and the pink hair, almost exactly, right, Todd?
Yeah, I don't see June Cleaver.
I don't think
Cleaver.
She knows who. I don't think she knows
I don't,
who Cleaver
is.
She doesn't know June
Cleaver. I know June Cleaver.
So you guys get together on, I'm assuming that your podcast is weekly, or is it?
It's weekly, yes.
Okay.
Every Tuesday we put a new episode.
Is there something that keeps boiling to the top? Like I'm going to assume daycare, because it's so expensive. It's just out of control. Or what?
Well, my kids are old enough to not need daycare anymore, thankfully. But when they were in daycare, it was so expensive. Right. I can't even imagine what it is now. that the economy is the way it is.
But someone wants to join the group. Like, what will your subject be this week? Do you send out an agenda or do you sit around and say, look, who's what do you want to talk about?
We have a list of things that we talk about. I think the last time that I saw you guys, our next episode was going to be about dating apps and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think coming up next, we're going to be talking about about what the cutoff is between like just a hot mom and a cougar.
So, now that sounds like we on feral dad talk,
right? Right.
Oh, like, what is? Did you come up with it yet? What is it?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I don't know yet.
All right. Now let me ask you this: so when you know everybody listens to podcasts or seem. When you're sitting there and you're kind of hosting it, it's a different animal, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. You kind of, we have like a outline that we try and follow, but like you just kind of go off on a little tangent sometimes. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. You learn some things about some people.
That's awesome that you're doing this.
And what an opportunity for people just to listen to it on their time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At night.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, right. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can access that whenever you feel like. So,
right,
it's a great forum that you give women.
Yeah,
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really nice to be able to empower other women too. Right. So,
absolutely.
And where do you do this?
So we record at the Nest on Broadway right now.
That's
it's
a good place.
A co-working space for. I think there's some men there, but it's mainly women. It's 24/7 access, so we can go there whenever we want. It's a lot of fun. It's a good space.
What's that like right by? I'm trying to think. What that is that by the cigar store or the cigar?
No, it's by that vintage shop.
Oh yeah. Oh, just almost
and, like,
the corner of
Tokyo.
Walnut here.
Mm-hmm.
Just down. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
cool.
That's great. You're doing that. And how many members are you? They're looking for more feral moms to join the organization. Obviously, more to listen, but.
Yeah, so in a couple of weeks, we're actually going to have on the creator of that Mommy AF group on Facebook. You guys probably don't know about
that. No, I don't. My mind was racing.
They put on an adult prom every year that they use the funds for.
In Green Bay?
For a different charity every year. So that's a lot of fun. So we're going to have her on. And
when are they doing that again?
Sweet.
We'd love to get her on.
Yeah, send her when you're done with it. Yeah, we'd like.
Yeah, sounds yeah. Like her name is Andrea. She's awesome. She owns Soul Purpose in the mall.
Okay.
Okay.
And so she's a lot of fun.
Very and those cool. community things are so important, and it's obviously helped you.
I mean,
you talked about that when I talked to you last time, and I think that's great. That I want to talk about. Are you looking for new members to join the podcast, or if someone's
we're always looking for people to come
on.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, give us some info on how we can get connected here.
So the easiest way is probably on Facebook.
Okay.
Our email is feralmomspodcastwi@gmail.com if you want email.
But your Facebook is just Feral Moms?
Feral Moms Podcast, yep.
Okay. Awesome.
And there's a picture of us on there looking like two raccoons.
Well, we're going to look into this. This is very cool. We're big fans of people that do podcasts. I mean, we really are.
Oh, yeah. I love a good podcast.
Yeah.
That's great.
And do you... We met you at the Heights.
Yes.
At that party. Do you work there or do you just...
I don't.
Okay, you were just hanging out there. You seem like you could. You got the personality
My friend
of a,
works there. Okay. My friend Heather works there. You guys know Heather.
Yes. Of course.
Okay.
So she works there. I frequent there a lot. It's just a really good business. Brian's
have you been
a great
able to get
owner.
Heather on your podcast?
I have. She was on the last one.
We keep trying to get her on our show here.
Ooh.
When they come in on the Fridays, but I don't know if Ashley won't let her on or what. Something. You know, like gang warfare with those people there. Hey, this is really great, Rachel. Rachel Wolf, Feral Moms Podcast. Look it up, folks. I think this sounds very fascinating.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And I got a feeling you guys, like, don't hold back.
No.
All right, we got to tune in. That sounds great.
All right. So, can I just ask one? You said you guys, one of the topics was the age where you become just being hot to...
A cougar.
A cougar?
Yeah.
What about guy-wise?
A dad versus a...
Yeah, like a hot guy to a... What do you think?
I don't think that ever changes.
65? 70?
GiveBigGreenBay.org. That's where we're going today. Thank you for coming in,
Thanks
Rachel.
For coming in, Rachel. We're out of time. Thanks, everybody. Stay warm. See ya.
Give a little bit.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.